Yes, what a wonderful way to start a service off to remind us that He is worthy of all honor and praise. And that's why we're here this morning. We want to welcome you to Volusia County Baptist Church today. And as we get started this morning, we're going to start with our scripture reading, which you'll find inside your bulletin in the middle section of that trifold. We'll be reading Hebrews chapter number 1, verses 1 through 4. And if you're new here with us today, we will all read together on the bolded verses. So starting in verse number 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Brother Mike Flavel, if you'll come, sir, open our service in a word of prayer as we seek the Lord's blessing upon this time, as that is what we need today. Brother Mike. Hey.
God bless you, Mike. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we are able to come before You. Lord, we did not pass any military people. We can come before You, and Lord, we thank You that we live in a free country to where we can still worship You and preach Your word. And Lord, if there's anyone that does not know You in a real way, Lord, we ask that they will come to know You as their personal Lord and Savior in a real way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. George, let's take our hymn books as we stand. Turn to hymn number 45. Crown Him with Many Crowns. Hymn number 45.
Crown Him. Yeah.
We're not much to consider, are we? We don't offer much. We don't offer anything. It's a good thing he doesn't ask for anything. He just says, come. He just says, come. And if you haven't, boy, this morning, come to Christ. If you've come this morning as a guest, we want to make sure that we welcome you properly. We got a few folks here this morning, either out of town or maybe haven't been able to be here for a little while. I noticed Brother Hodges, Miss Carol. Difficult for him to get here. We're glad to see you every time. Glad to see you. I noticed Kaylee Music Gaskins is here. Got to still say that. She's here visiting. Is Cody around, or did you took off on him and came down? Well, okay. Good to see you, Kaylee. And I had written down someone else that I saw here this morning. Oh, Fred and Janice are here this morning. Good to see y'all. So glad to see you here this morning as well. But maybe this is your first time being here at the home place. Our guys are coming down to the front right now. These ushers have something for each and every guest. They want to put this little card in your hand. There's a little pen. All we want you to do is take that little card and that little pen, fill that card out, drop it in the offering plate in just a few moments. It gives us a record of your time here at the church, and it gives us an opportunity to welcome you properly in the future, but also right now. We want to be able to recognize you, and that meant not publicly necessarily, but just those around you want to be able to shake your hand and tell you how much we appreciate you being here this morning. So if this is your first time being here, if you wouldn't mind, just slip your hand up long enough for one of these guys to see you, then you can put it down. They're going to bring one of those little cards to you. And like I said, you fill that out, put it in the offering plate in a few moments. That would be a fitting contribution, and we would be appreciative to have it from you. Thank you so much. And I got several announcements to get to here, so I need you to pay attention. I'm going to hold the big one for the end, okay? The big one, I'm going to hold it off until the end because it's very, very vital, and Miss Hope will kill me if I miss it, and I don't want Miss Hope killing me, okay? But I want to mention these things that are also pertinent, okay? Super Senior Shopping Trip, Tuesday we're leaving. You need to sign up, or Tuesday, a week from Tuesday. A week from Tuesday. Y'all heard me say a week from Tuesday, right? You're not going to say, I thought you said Tuesday. I'm going to say, yes, I did, and then I corrected it, okay? A week from Tuesday, May 16th, leaving at 10:30 in the morning. Let Miss Nina and Brother Jim know that you want to go so that you can be a part of that. Master Club Pine Car Derby is a week from Saturday. Kids, get your cars, and if you'd like to participate, cars are $4. Adults, teens, if you'd like to be involved in that. See one of the Master Club folks, Mio or Stephanie, maybe the Taylors, and you can get one of those cars. Graduate Sunday is coming up, May 21st, and we don't know always who's graduating or where they're graduating from or what they're getting when they graduate, so on and so forth. We need your help with that, okay? So if you'd like your young person to be recognized that day, we need some information from you and a picture. So if you will, submit that to Pastor Tim. You can submit it to me if you want to. He'll ultimately get those and be putting that together. And we'll recognize the high school graduates, college graduates, even those that are getting postgraduate degrees. So if you know someone here in the church who's not here this morning, but they're a part of our church, we want to make sure we recognize those that are here at the home place that are graduating this season. Okay, CMA Spring Concert. Big deal for these kids, and you need to be here for this, okay? Make your plans Thursday. I know you're going to plan to be here Thursday night anyway, but a week from Thursday night is our CMA Spring Concert. These kids are going to do a great job. They've already done a great job in our midweek services, doing sort of some midterm performances, and you need to see what all they've prepared. So that's a week from Saturday. Be here for that. I'll remind you, the early bird discount for my trip to Israel in February is going to be lapsing in about 2 weeks. So May 19th, I think it is. It's on the brochure. Pick those up down here. Get signed up. Go to Israel with us. Those that are going already from here, from Somerville and other places, we want you to be on that trip with us. Voices of Victory, okay? Mainly parents, but Voices of Victory come with your parents. And I want to have a little brief meeting right down here, okay? It's important. You're going to know where we're going, the finality of the things that where we're going, and I'm going to confirm our final numbers so that when we book our accommodations, everything is just exactly as it needs to be. Important meeting. It doesn't need to be a long one, but it is important. So get there quickly so we can wrap that up fairly quickly as well. Okay, all of that done, ladies' banquet. Ladies' banquet is this Friday night. Okay, that means several things. First of all, if you're not signed up to be there, today is your last opportunity. You need to sign up today. Otherwise, you do not need to show up Friday night, okay, because they will not have a place or food for you. Now, if you would like to host a table, there are many tables available. There's opportunities for you to host a table, but we need to know today, along with an idea, the names, the number of people that you've got coming. See Miss Eunice right back there beside the video booth by those glass doors. She will help you get that, okay? Now, those of you that have signed up to be a hostess at a table, She needs your final name list turned in today. So please turn that in to her so that they've got everything buttoned up for this Friday night. That's vital. So if you want to get a table to host one, if you just want to show up, you don't want to host a table, if you are hosting a table and you need to turn in your list, all of that takes place back there, okay? And all of our ladies, almost all of you, that should apply to you because we want every one of you to be involved in this. You're going to be so glad that you did. Miss Mina Oglesby will be here to bless us that evening. And men, be here to serve. If you haven't signed up, you better, okay? Your ladies are going to be disappointed in you, all right? And you may have to earn your way into heaven if you don't do that. Not really. I'm just trying to encourage you, okay? Now, here's something we need for that. Thursday night, our service is going to be prepared. This building will be prepared for Friday night, which means there will be tables in here so that when the Thursday evening service concludes, all those that are hosting tables can set their tables up, decorate them, do all the things that they need to do. That means it needs to be set up. That means we need an army of people to set it up. Changing this room from what it looks like now to what it needs to be on Friday night is a monumental effort. We need all hands on deck. There's a little complication. It's a good complication, but we have baccalaureate for UHS Wednesday night. Wonderful chance. The gospel's going to go out to parents and students, and we're thrilled for that, and we want you to pray for that. There's going to be some folks that are providing refreshments. Miss Nancy and her crew are going to provide refreshments. That's a big highlight for the school and just another touch of influence that we have for the gospel in University High School, okay? But as soon as that is over, which is about 8 o'clock, all right, we need you to show up as many as can. Be here at about 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. Okay, don't eat up the refreshments. As a matter of fact, stay away from that portion so all the graduates and their parents and friends can enjoy the fellowship in the mall area. But when that concludes, they'll, for the most part, move there quickly because of all the food being out there. But we need to move into here and start getting this place set, which just means getting chairs stacked up and moved to the sides so tables can be established. So 8 o'clock Wednesday night, okay? Instead of doing it tonight after the service, all right, after you're all tired, after being here all day on Sunday, We're going to have you come out on Wednesday night. Please, if at all possible, be here for that. We need lots of help to get that done. Thank you.
Let's stand as you take your hymn book once again. Turn to hymn number 11. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Hymn number 11. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. To my heart. Second verse, and when we get to the end, we're going to change keys real quick and then jump across the page to that optional last stanza, okay? On the second.
Hitherto thy love has blessed me, thou hast brought me to this place, and I know
this morning is 161. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing.
Yeah. now shake hands and greet those around you this morning.
Sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen. Ushers are going to make their way on down. And while they're doing that, thank you for helping us on Wednesday evening. Pastor Aaron will not be here. He'll be enjoying a much-needed vacation time, and he'll be gone for a week. You pray he'll be leaving after the morning service and driving to Knoxville, Tennessee, where tomorrow evening he'll be receiving his bachelor's degree and graduating from Crown College. And we're proud of you, sir. If you want to watch it on live stream, it'll be on their website, Crown College. Is it crowncollege.com or something? TheCrownCollege.com. Only one of them. Only one of them. TheCrownCollege.com. So if you want to watch that on live stream and then cheer as he goes across the stage, that'll be great. And that's Monday evening. And Mother's Day, this coming Sunday. Mother's Day. Be in your place. Moms, use this as a good tool to invite those who would not normally go to church, or maybe they won't come to church with you or whatever, but they'll come as a gift to be with you on Mother's Day. So I encourage you to have this as a great opportunity, and every lady will receive a gift from the church, and we're looking forward to that. Also, we'll be giving out some special gifts to special moms on that day. And the men will be singing to you in the men's choir, all the gentlemen, all the guys. Going to fill the choir loft. And no, there is no special choir practice you have to come to. We'll be singing songs that you know. We're out of the hymn book, a couple of them. And so that'll be a great time on Sunday. Now, Sunday morning during Sunday school, Mina Oglesby, who is the guest speaker and singer for the banquet, she'll be teaching the ladies, all of the ladies in here in Sunday school. We'll have all the men in the activities building. So teenagers and up, we'll have all the women folk in here and all the men folk out there in the activities building. So a special Sunday school time, and Pastor Aaron will be speaking in that Sunday school time. And let's see, I'm looking, Mina Oglesby will be singing in our service as well. And she is a blessing to hear sing. There's some people that we have sing here at the church when they get behind the pulpit and they sing a message. It's like you just got through hearing a great sermon when they get through singing. And it's beautiful how they do it. And she's one of those. And so you're going to enjoy that. It'll be a marvelous time this coming Sunday. And so be in your place. Well, thank you so much for your prayers for us. One graduated and one hitched. And one trip, and we got two for one. So that was marvelous. Melody graduated, and David got married. And so thank you so much for letting us be gone to do that. It was kind of a whirlwind trip. And Hope and Melody have to bring home the car that was out there at college with them. And so they're on a road trip across the country. And so we're praying for journey mercies and safety on all that. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing. Dr. Twilliger, come, please, if you will, and ask the Lord's blessing upon this offering. And so thankful for the mission giving of our church folks, faithfully praying, faithfully giving, so that they can go and present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so thank you so much for that and your faithful gifts. God bless you.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne in prayer, and we praise your holy name. Lord, we're not worthy to come into your presence, but you loved us so much that you died on Calvary's cross to pay for my sins and the sins of the whole world, and rose again on the third day that we might have eternal life and that we might come before you. And we just thank you and praise you for it. We thank you for this offering, Lord. We ask that you would bless it, bless the givers, and use it for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, that today would be that day of salvation for them. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
ahead and have your Bibles prepared and ready for Pastor as he comes to preach in a moment. Before he does, let's let our hearts focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Rogers family will be singing a song called My Hope is Jesus.
Amen. Wonderful. Thank you. Amen. Thank you so much, Rogers family. That was beautiful, and I couldn't have asked for a better song for this message. It is turned to 1 Peter chapter 2, the stone of our salvation. The stone of our salvation. Our hope is Jesus. God bless you. And while you're finding 1 Peter 2, this is a nice card. To my family in Christ at the home place, thank you very much for your prayers and cards. It's and for being there with us, visiting and witnessing to my brother, love in Christ, Agdalia Negron and family. And continue to pray. There's another memorial service coming this week. And so pray that God will speak to their hearts and those that are not saved have an opportunity to turn to Christ. and find their hope in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter number 2, please. You've been seated for a while. If you don't mind, stand with me, please. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read these verses and pray, and then we'll be seated. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies, all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." You might circle those words stone and precious in your mind or on your page there. "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief corner stone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." You may be seated. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your precious word, the music, Lord, that we are to consider Christ and all that he did for us. And he is the rock of our salvation, the stone that will never crumble. Thank you, Lord, for the precious salvation that we have in Jesus. Help us now to consider him. And Lord, I pray that if there's a person here that does not know you in the forgiveness of sin, may this be the day that they're redeemed and heaven bound, born again in the family of God. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Fill me with your spirit, please, God. Lord, I pray that you would speak peace here in our midst. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon this place. Put a ring of angels around and preserve your precious word as it goes out and glorifies Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen. While traveling, I was reminded of some things that I had kind of forgotten as a parent. I had forgotten some of the joys of raising little ones. We traveled with Tim and Kayla. We had a marvelous time as we went to the airport and then on the airplane and then going from the airport there in California and then driving from California to Arizona and all that went on, then coming back. I got to witness some things that I had forgotten. It's wonderful to have children that can play with one another. But you know, when children play with one another, they also fuss with one another. They also fight, and they pick fights and all that kind of thing. And it's interesting here in this passage that in the way of introducing this passage, I mean, there's a definite stopping point in chapter 1, a definite stopping point. We have great, great truths, verse 23 of chapter 1, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. I mean, the strength and the confidence and the doctrine and all of that, that is laid before us. And then chapter 2, verse 1, we just read, introducing these next thoughts, he deals with, the Lord deals with through Peter, we as Christians. And he says, okay, first of all, based on all God has done for you, then there needs to be some things changed in our behavior, in our lifestyle. He says in verse 1, wherefore, for these reasons, because he has just cited those in the previous verses, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, comma. Okay, we're gonna deal with that comma in just a moment. But he lays out and as a spiritual parent, you might say, there were times that Tim looked at the kids and said, "Stop it." He said, quit, you know, leave him alone, leave her alone, and all that kind of thing. And that's what he said here in this passage. He says, stop it. Stop acting selfish. Stop acting like the carnality of the world. Stop acting, verse 2, there's a comma here, stop acting like babies. He said, as newborn babes. He said, this is how you're acting, as newborn babes. He said, now, as newborn babes, he said, the cure for it is desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Don't stay baby Christians. Oh, I've been saved for 47 years. Have you ever seen somebody that was 47 years old in a nursery? Well, spiritually, it can happen. It really can. And that's because we go through the motions of all the liturgy and all of the things that go with religion, and we don't encourage a growing relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's found in feasting upon His Word. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. That word desire is, God is the master of understatement. Now, if you have a newborn babe and they don't have language, they don't have words to be able to express their need, they let you know anyway that there's something desperately wrong. They're hungry or they're wet or they're something, but they cry out. And as a parent, you have to guess, okay? Let's see, what's wrong with her now? What's his problem now? And you guess at it and you try to figure it out and meet the need. And when you take that warm bottle and you put it to his lips and he starts sucking, and boy, all of a sudden, no more crying, no more tears. That's what he needed. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Cry out for it. Look forward to it. Oh, is it Sunday again? I got to go to church. Hey, it's Sunday again. I wonder what God's going to give me from God's holy word. I wonder what music is going to stir my soul. I wonder how God is going to direct me in my life and what he's going to reveal to me of what he wants me to do on this planet Earth. God has a plan for your life. Now, we can just twiddle away our existence and just muddle through as best we know how, or we can discover why God put us here and begin fulfilling those reasons, fulfilling God's plan for our life. Desire the sincere milk of the word, and then we'll grow as we feast on it, as we meditate on it. This is all by way of introduction on the stone of our salvation. Verse number 4, let's look at these three thoughts this morning: the precious suffering, the precious sacrifice, and the precious Savior. We find three times right here in this passage, and then other times in 1 Peter, the word precious. Now, let's just figure out what that means. You might say, she is precious. What do you mean by that? Oh, that little boy is precious. We find in 1 Samuel that the word of God was precious in those days. That God was not speaking openly like he used to speak. It was precious. And when God spoke to the little boy Samuel, when he spoke to him, Samuel, Samuel, we should say, as Samuel did, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That's the right answer. That's the right response. Things that are precious have two words: incredible value. Incredible value. So in these verses, you're going to see this, so the incredible value, the stone of our salvation is precious. Look at verse number 4. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and what's the word? Precious. God says that he was rejected by men, but to God he was precious. He was devalued by men, but God knew how precious he was. Isaiah 53, the Bible says in verse number 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Precious suffering of our Savior. Precious suffering of Jesus Christ. Now, as our Master, as our Savior suffered, And he suffered and died. And as we celebrated the Resurrection Sunday just a couple of weeks ago, I know that it's something that we need to be reminded of over and over, the great payment that was made for our redemption. But we think that, I know, that God paid our sin debt. Jesus suffered in our place. And our life should be kind of a life of ease. Our life should not have misunderstandings. Our life should not have accidents that we did not see coming and surprises that we did not prepare for. Our life should not be bumpy. I was driving along a road right near my house, and they had done some paving, and they had put in a street light there. And it used to be that every person, it was a four-way stop, and every person had to come up to that four-way stop. And so I never really noticed. But I was coming a different direction than I usually come, and coming up Taylor Road, and as I did, I was going on past where I usually turn from my house. I had a green light. Boy, I like green lights. I have a loving relationship with green lights. I love to see them. I love to receive them, and all of that kind of thing. I had a green light. And where I normally had to stop every time, I thought, I get to blow right through this intersection. And so about 35, 40 miles an hour, well within the speed limit, you know, I was doing good. It was like 45. And so I'm watching, because occasionally when new lights come up, people forget, you know, and they go. And so I'm watching, and as I go across, man, I mean the road, how they crown the road sometimes. And I hit that, and we almost went airborne. There are times that things will happen in our life we did not expect. We did not see them coming. We did not plan for it. And we're going to think, God, why are you allowing this suffering into my life? Turn back a page to chapter 1. Read with me at verse number 7. The suffering of our Savior reminds us that we're going to have times of suffering as well. Verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more, what's the word? Precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Wow! Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of our faith. Verse 6 talks about that our trial being now for a season. I'm thankful that trials come and trials go. Someone said that one of the most favorite little phrases in the Bible is this one. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. There are seasons of suffering, seasons of trials. But my friend, if we seek the Lord first, if we try to stay focused upon Him and for our faith not to be shaken, I shared this with my son, David. We were riding along, and I was honored to stand as his best man there at the wedding. And he was saying some things, and we were talking about some things about marriage and all that kind of thing. And I said, David, remember something. Never doubt in the dark what God taught you in the light. And there are some things that when things get dark and the trials and the sufferings come upon you, don't doubt what you know is true. Don't doubt that. Stand firm on it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Precious suffering. I've never done this, but they tell me that when a refiner is purifying gold, taking gold and its impurities and all of that as they've gotten the ore out of the rock and out of the earth and they begin to heat it up and to melt it, as the stone parts and separate from the metal of the gold, then those impurities will rise to the top. The refiner will take an instrument and will rake off that molten impurity. And then heat it up again and again and hotter and keep raking off those impurities. Say, well, how do you know when it's finished? when the refiner can look and what is left in that vat, what is left in there of that molten gold, when the refiner sees the reflection of his own face reflecting off that molten gold, then it is refined to its purest point. God knows how far to heat us up. He knows how much suffering by his grace we can endure. And there is a purpose. The purpose is so that other people can see the face of the refiner, so that other people can see the face of Jesus Christ in our suffering, the precious suffering of our Savior. Secondly, the precious sacrifice of our Savior. Look, please, at verse number 6. Verse number 5 says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." We'll pause here for just a moment before we go on to the next verse. You notice that the Bible talks about, in verse 4, a living stone. Did you see that? "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed." Speaking of Jesus Christ, a living stone. And verse 5 describes believers as lively stones. People say, "Oh, well, that's another word for living." Not the truest interpretation there. Why is it that one is translated living and the other is translated lively? We have to remember something. Jesus said in John chapter 11, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Living. Jesus Christ is eternal. Before Bethlehem, he was eternal. Before Abraham was, "I am," Jesus said. He spoke the worlds into existence. He is the true and only living stone. And then he imparts life to us, that we also can be living, that we are made alive. I've said to people, I hate dead music in church. I just hate dead music. I like to think that we have vibrant, exciting, traditional music. That's how I describe our music. And vibrant, alive. Now, folks, there's a description of us as living stones that God is building. He's building his church, and the Smith family is a brick, and the Rogers family is a brick, and the Davis family is a brick, and we can just go on and name names of folks building a church. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And Peter is being used by God to pen this text that we're studying here. And so Jesus is speaking to Peter, and I want to clear something up. Because the Catholic Church believes and teaches that the church is built upon Peter. And Peter understood that the church is not built upon him, but upon Jesus Christ. And he makes it very clear and very plain in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we're studying. And we'll see that even more in a moment. But look, please, at Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says, "He," Jesus, "saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let me pause here for a moment, verse 18, and help us as we look at this. "I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock." Now, the word he used for Peter was Petros. Petros, the Greek word Petros. It means a rock. When I was in Israel, we visited, thankfully, got to go to the Valley of Elah. You know what happened in the Valley of Elah? David met Goliath in the Valley of Elah, and he went to a little brook, and he collected how many stones? 5 smooth stones. And he was well proficient with his only weapon that he had, the sling. But may I remind us that it was not the skill of David that brought down Goliath. It was God taking that rock and sending it like a cruise missile exactly where it needed to go. But he took those 5 stones, and you know, when I was over there in Israel, I thought, wow, I'd like to get 5 stones. And sure enough, I found 5 smooth pebbles. I'm imagining in my mind's eye the size of pebbles it would take. And I have them at home, you know. People bring soil and rocks and all kinds of things from Israel. And they had these little plastic bottles. They got soil from this and soil from that. And I kind of made fun of them in my mind. Why are you doing that? And then I went out and I got 5 rocks so I could get out in front of the church, you know. They're at the flags and things. But it's just kind of novelty, you know. But that's the word that is used when he calls him Peter, Petros, a little pebble. Thou art a little pebble. And upon this pebble I will build my church. Doesn't even make sense. The reason why it doesn't make sense is the Bible says, and upon this rock, Jesus used a different Greek word there. Petra, not Petros, but Petra. The idea of this is a massive stone, bedrock, large, huge, the kind of thing that you don't pick up and throw. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, what in the world is he talking about? What foundation is he talking about? He says, thou art Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the bedrock of our salvation, folks. Is who Jesus is. The reason why Jesus died upon the cross, the reason it was for our sins, but the reason the Jews put him on the cross is because he claimed to be the Son of God, and he is. He is. It was blasphemy was the charge. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Peter understood exactly what Jesus was saying. He had no problem with that. The precious sacrifice that was made. Look at verse number 6, back in our text, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. Flip back there, if you will, with me. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. The Apostle Paul said it this way, 1 Corinthians 3, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That foundation, that rock, is Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:4 reminds us of that as the Jews traveled through the wilderness. You remember when Moses, whenever he took out his frustration of leading the children of Israel through the wilderness and their murmurings and their bitterness and all that, that's just going to happen with people. It happens. You know, Moses, a great leader, not perfect, but boy, he was in tune with Almighty God. And he let his temper get the best of him. And God said, speak to the rock. And instead, he took his staff and he smote the rock. That rock was a symbol of Jesus Christ. And only God was going to smite Jesus Christ. He was going to smite him as the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. He took our punishment. He took our suffering and our pain and our judgment. And that was by God alone. And that God said, okay, because you did that, you're not going to go into the promised land. There are consequences to what we do. God says, speak to the rock. And out of that rock flowed living water in the desert. God knows how to meet our needs. The precious sacrifice, the precious suffering, the incredible value. Did you see it again in verse number 6? A chief cornerstone, elect, and what's the word? Precious. Incredible value. Incredible value. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Precious suffering. Number 2, precious sacrifice. And number 3, and finally, our precious Savior himself. Look at verse number 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is, say with me, precious. Incredible value. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. John chapter 3 and verse 18. You know verse 16, don't you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Most people can quote that, but I don't know if everyone can quote verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Already condemned, already judged. Why? Because we're all sinners and we stand judged in our sin. Now, the execution of the penalty has not happened yet, but the verdict has been delivered. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The verdict has been given. The execution is still to come. As long as we have breath, there's a chance for a pardon. As long as we have life, as long as we have the heart beating within us, there's an opportunity that the thief on the cross grasped and took. He took that opportunity when the precious Savior was hanging there on the center cross, and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He made no attempt at giving his righteousness. He didn't try to say how he grew up going to the synagogue. He didn't try to explain how much he gave. He didn't say how good he was to his mother, or how much he was innocent and shouldn't be hanging there on that cross. He just admitted his sin, admitted who Jesus was, proclaimed him as Lord, and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That was an expression of faith. In his dying moments, was he saved? Absolutely, he got saved. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Can people get saved on their deathbed? Yes, they certainly can. But my friend, how in the world could someone begin to think that they're going to know exactly when they're going to die? I mean, seriously. Brain aneurysm? Massive heart attack? Plane wreck? Car accident? Murder? Never saw it coming. Chattanooga, Tennessee. Dr. Lee Robertson told this story of a man who preached the Word of God, and he got into some things that he should never have been messing with at all. And he was sitting outside of a place he should not have been. Someone walked up to him, up to his car, and right through the window, pulled out a gun and put a bullet in his head. Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. Our flesh is as grass. It appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. The Bible says that he is precious. The precious suffering, the precious sacrifice, the precious Savior. I looked at the end of verse number 8 and it concerned me. This rock of offense. To those who stumble at the word and are disobedient and reject the way of salvation, they attend their church and they hear the pastor get up and plead with people and ask them to receive Christ as their Lord and their Savior and ask them to forgive them of their sin and trust him and him alone to take them to heaven. And yeah, that sounds really good. And one of these days when I get old and gray, I'll do that, you know. I'll serve God then. But now I'm too busy having fun. The Bible says at the end of verse 8, whereunto also they were appointed. And for a moment there, I thought, they're appointed? They're appointed to disobedience? They're appointed to judgment? They're appointed to go to hell? They're appointed? I got to thinking. I began to ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit. By the way, Pastor Aaron mentioned something in Sunday school that is really excellent, really excellent. I enjoy listening to his Sunday school. I'm where I can hear all the Sunday school hour, and as I'm praying and looking over the message and things, and I can do all that, and it's a marvelous thing. But anyway, if you're not in Sunday school, you're shortchanging your spiritual life. You need to be in Sunday school, and there's some great classes, and I get to hear the auditorium class. And Pastor Aaron, he said, you know, when he's studying a passage, he's very careful to not go first to other study helps and other study books and commentaries and that kind of thing. He wants to spend time with the Lord. He wants to spend time with the author. He wants the Holy Spirit to open up his eyes and ears of understanding and to reveal to him. You know, if we're not careful, we'll try to amass a lot of things. Education and libraries and commentaries and languages and things. And we begin to think when someone gets up to preach, and sometimes we as preachers present the Word of God in a very bad light. We present it that you can't understand it, that we have a corner, a monopoly upon the interpretation of Scripture. Shame on us if we do that. The Holy Spirit has the monopoly on the understanding of Scripture. And He can help you, and He can guide us. So I was talking with the Lord, saying, "Lord, now this seems a little bit odd to me. How appointed. Let me just paint a picture for you here. You'll pull out your wallet, or you'll pull out your phone book, or you'll pull out wherever you keep business cards and things, and sometimes you'll call someone that has a DDS after their name. They're a dentist, okay? And you'll think, okay, I need to go to the dentist. And you'll call up and you'll say, yeah, I need to make an appointment. Yep, okay, how about 3 weeks from Tuesday? Yeah, but it'll have to be about 4 o'clock. I have to pick up the kids and everything. I could be there. I could be 4 o'clock. Okay, all right. Schedule an appointment. Now, you go to the dentist. You have made that appointment. You go and you sit down in a chair that is extremely comfortable. You're thinking, wow, this would be nice to have at home. It's contoured and ergonomically designed and all that kind of thing. And you're laying there. And nowadays, they might even have a little TV up there to watch the news and things. And you're saying, boy, this is great. And then they come and they put that little bib on you. And the lady pulls that little arm that has that tray out. And she says, "Hi, how are you doing?" She is just sweet. She's so kind. And then she takes this thing that is an instrument of torture. And she starts rubbing all over your teeth. And your gums, and pushing, and saying, "You don't floss, do you?" Pulling and scraping and all that kind of thing. Okay, and then squirting water and spit. Oh, that there's... She gets finished. She gets all done. Your body relaxes. Do you tense up during that? Yeah. Ugh. Sometimes they can tell. My feet go up in the air, you know. How you doing? Oh, okay. Then the dentist walks in. And he looks at the pictures, and he looks at the tooth, and he looks at everything, and he says, "Okay, all right, we'll get you taken care of here." And he pulls out that thing with that point on it. Pow, 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 pow. Pow. Huh. And then the grinding starts. Drilling. And they do all that they have to do. And when you're all done and your mouth is like this, then you go to the desk. You thank them. You thank the doctor. "Thank you very much for your help." And then they say, that'll be X number of dollars. And you pull out your checkbook and you pay for what you just went through. Now listen. Who made the appointment? I've got an appointment. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, folks, we're either appointed to heaven because of what we did. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and we have made that appointment with him to see him face to face. Or we have an appointment because of what we did, because we're sinners, and we did not take the gift of salvation, the precious gift of salvation. Whereby they are appointed. Your name is on an appointment roster somewhere. Amen. It's either in the book of life or it's in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Where's your name? Because you're appointed somewhere. He that believeth is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Precious salvation. Folks, it is a joy. He is the chosen of God. He is not a rock of offense to us. He is the precious, wonderful rock of our salvation. Do you have him as your rock of ages? Let's bow our heads together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You don't have promise of another moment. You have promise of this moment, this breath, this heartbeat. What will you do with Jesus Christ this day, right here, right now? Young man, mom, dad, please look within your heart. If you do not have to move around, please don't move around right now. This is eternally important, what God is doing right now, knocking on your heart's door. If you would say, I don't know that heaven's my home. You talked about the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know about my name written down in heaven. I don't know about that. I've really tried to be good. I've really tried to live a pleasing life. But as far as being born again, as far as knowing that heaven's my home, I hope so. But I don't know so. Today, come to Jesus, run to him. Today, receive the precious gift of salvation. No one's looking around. God is looking within your heart. How many of us would say, Pastor, if I died right now, to be honest, I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. I would like to. I hope so. I think I would. But I just don't know. And I need to know that. You can know that. If you say, Preacher, pray for me about that, would you slip your hand up just for a moment and put it right back down? I'll not embarrass you. I'll not point you out. I'll pray for you. I'll pray with you. Pray for me, Preacher. I need to know that heaven's my home, and I don't know that. I cannot give testimony to that. How many would say, Pastor, if I met Jesus Christ there at the gates of heaven, and he were to say, why should I let you into my heaven? I have a Bible reason. I don't deserve to go to heaven. But there was a time in my life I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I remember when I was born again. That was an event in my life that I'll never forget. It's something that is etched in my eternal destiny. Jesus is my hope. Say, that's my testimony. Would you slip your hand up? That's my testimony as praise unto God. Yes, God bless you. Put your hands down. Now, between those two groups, there's some that did not raise their hand either time. My heart breaks and goes out to you. I know it's very embarrassing to be in a crowd like this. I know that you just want to just slide out the back door and go home, and you don't want to be disturbed. But Jesus left heaven to die on the cross for you. And if you leave here, you have no guarantee that you'll have tomorrow to receive Jesus as your Savior. So would you let me do this? Would you let me lead you to Jesus as best I know how, and you pray to the Lord as best you know how, and ask him to save you. Say, well, is this a trick? No. But if God has spoken to your heart, if his Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart's door, why not turn to him right now before it's too late? Would you pray something like this from your heart? Just form the words there with your lips and whisper this prayer to Almighty God. He will hear you. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner. I admit that I do not deserve to go to heaven. I ask you that you would give me your precious salvation. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for raising from the dead. I'm trusting you, Jesus, to take me to heaven. Nothing else will do. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life now, because you said it would be. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.